We are back on the air, and thank you very much for keeping that break exactly at 5 minutes. Nathan, I believe you have three other resolutions to move.
That's fine. Oh, yes, that'd be lovely. Thank you. All right, let's do resolution O.
Or Greg, you
A was off of consent.
Oh, A. Oh, man. Well, can I do resolution O so that way Greg can
You certainly can.
Here?
You
All
have
right.
the prerogative.
Right. Because I kept you late during the committee meeting the other day, so I feel bad.
I second resolution O. Let's do it.
Okay, all right. So I moved resolution O, award of contract, telecommunications services, and...
Second
by Is there any discussion on award of contract? This is the one that was not on the agenda. Martha Robertson.
Can you explain what this is? A little long to read right now. Can you explain what this is and why are we getting this so late? Who's?
Greg, why don't you go here?
Okay. Yeah. The discussion went through a committee on Friday. I unfortunately forgot to put it on the agenda for this meeting in time, so it is my fault. It's kind of time sensitive because we have the existing contracts that we have in place for our internet service provider and expires on July 31st and telecommunications during the middle of August. We're in the midst of a lot of planning based on the 55 Brown Road project, and there are a lot of details that need to be worked out in advance and as part of the contract negotiations resulting from this RFP process.
Any
Thank
further
you.
Discussion? Kathy Lou Cerrera.
Can you give an idea how this amount compares with past amounts?
Yes, certainly. Existing services for all of the four components of the RFP right now are estimated to be about $69,000. That excludes the per-minute usage fees. So the other three categories that amount to that that total would be voice access lines for all of our telephone switches, the internet connection service that we have now, and all of our point-to-point data connections for our wide area network between facilities. The proposal that we are pursuing with the vendor, which is Finger Lakes Technology Group, would amount to an annual cost of $74,364 estimated. There's still negotiation and discussions that have to occur, and in addition, there are some one-time installation fees since they're a new vendor that would be providing services to us for around $4,000.
Thank you, and Frank Proto.
Craig, you never thought you'd get a question like this from me. With this new vendor, we're going to have to change our program access for our computers?
No, this has nothing to do with applications that run on the network.
You don't have to say anything.
So you're okay with your email system? No problem there. We're not going to scare you.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor of resolution of a duly keeper?
Were you blocking me from this?
I wasn't.
It's my understanding, and I've had a chance to talk with Greg, and I appreciate his patience in explaining the details to me. We have had internet service from Clarity Connect, which is a local provider, and they've been fine. We have no problems with them. They've been really helpful and good. I do not like to see us lose a local vendor when we have that opportunity. So I called Greg to ask exactly what the difference would be in cost and service if we split this between two vendors. Finger Lakes Technologies is giving the county a 12% discount if they do everything. If everything's bundled for them, they give us a 10% discount if they don't get the whole ball of wax. But then you have to add in certain things that they're giving us free. And without trying to repeat the dollars as I understood them, the difference seems to come to about $5,000 a year for the term of a 3-year contract. I don't like to vote against what Greg recommends, and I understand the desirability of bundling it, and I understand what a good negotiator he is with vendors, and he's getting us little add-ons now and then, yesterday. but I wanted to express my discomfort with leaving Clarity Connect because they have served us well, and they really could be part of this agreement for not much of a penalty, in my view.
Thank you, Dooley. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution O?
Aye.
And those opposed? That passes with two opposed. Thank you, Greg, for your patience.
All right.
And Nathan, back to you.
Yes, yep. I would like to move Resolution A, revised, requesting the New York State Legislature to designate State Route 38 as the New York State Vietnam Veterans Memorial Highway, and I so move.
And that's passed, seconded by Frank Proto. I believe it was Will who asked to have this removed.
Frank?
Okay.
Nathan, my question, one of my questions, why was the whereas mentioning the Congressional Medal of Honor were taken out?
Yes, actually, I was not the one that submitted that revision, and if that happened in committee, I had to leave like right before that resolution, so I'm not
Can
sure.
Can anyone in the committee speak to that? Mike Hattery.
I think it's relevant to we borrowed this resolution from another county who, one of the other counties that 38 All right. passes through, and this Congressional Medal of Honor winner is in another county.
Yeah, he was.
So it's relevant for them because it does pass by this resting place for that county, but it doesn't in Tompkins. So somebody on the committee asked that it be stricken for that reason.
Yeah, I believe
not in any way to disrespect him.
I believe Robert Stryker was from Auburn.
Who is from Auburn? He's buried at Port Byron. I mean, is there harm in putting this in?
If you're not going to move it, I'm going to call on the next person who had their hand up.
I would like to draw a little clarification, too, that I think Barbara Lifton might be a little bit perturbed at the spelling of her name and the CCs, so perhaps we can clean that up, too.
Is there further discussion before we vote on Resolution A revised? Will Burbank, then Mike Sigler.
Yeah, I originally had thought about pulling this off consent. Consent items, as you know, are items that are non-controversial, and it's hard to imagine anything connected to the Vietnam War era that would be non-controversial. I'm sure within this room we all have very different understandings of what happened, what the significance was that. I actually wrestled with this proposal for quite some time, did a little research trying to understand what it was. Learned about Robert Stryker, who was, by all conventional terms in terms of military, an extraordinarily brave person. He was a grenadier. He literally was under fire and threw himself and gave his life to defend his fellow soldiers. And I understand why he was. It was not just that he was in Cuyahoga County. The Army actually has named a vehicle, the Stryker Armored Personnel Carrier, in his honor. My conflict had to do with the fact of it's kind of like the banalization of things military, sort of honoring veterans by giving them a highway and Route 38 on top of that. You know, it's like, is this the best we can do? It is not that I do not feel them worthy. According to the recent census, Vietnam-era vets account for about a third of all veterans right now. There are many of them out there. According to an article in the Auburn paper, many of them have died. And I don't know if this, I was not able to verify this fact, but it was estimated that close to half of all the Vietnam-era veterans that are no longer alive. And the motivation for this was to do something while they were still here to appreciate that. My conflict has to do, as I say, with what naming highways and remembering a war says in terms of what we as a society understood about that war and what this says where we're going in with future wars. People went through Vietnam and came out in many, many different ways. I have a close relative who served, who to this day, you know, 40 years later, cannot bear to talk about the experience. It just was that moving. I've met others for whom that was the highlight of their life. That was the most vital time, and they were transformed in ways that were positive. I also was aware of somebody who was very active in this community that we lost, and I'm thinking Peter DeMott, who came back. He spent 6 years in the military, came back, and devoted his life to peaceful efforts, and demonstrated intense bravery through his willingness to stand for peace and to go to prison. So in that spirit, I wish I could call up Peter and ask, you know, how would you suggest I vote on this? But I will assume that in honoring Betts, that it's something worth doing, and with all those qualifications, I will support this.
I have Mike Siglett and Frank Proto, and I would like to go to a vote if I could.
Just quickly, I think that being a state road, I think I would like to add back that whereas.
Are you moving that?
Yes, please.
Is there a second?
I mean, it's friendly.
It's friendly?
Yeah.
To the seconder, who was sure. Frank. Okay.
So. And the other thing is, I would please check the CCs, because Barbara Lifton's not the only one that's on there that's not correct.
Nazoyo?
Yeah.
Okay, and I have Frank, then Lesland, then Nathan, briefly.
Will, thank you for agreeing to support this. It goes without saying that the effort here is not to honor the war, but to honor the individuals who were in it, and some who were not in action, by the way. And you've heard it before that it's don't take it out on the warriors, but and we should remember too that there was a gentleman who, although wasn't born in Groton, his family is associated with Groton. Terry Graves was a Congressional Medal of Honor winner from this county. So was George Beebe, by the way, who Beebe Lake is named after. But the concern here is, while these folks are still around, it would be a nice gesture to support it. And I think everyone would certainly appreciate it. So on behalf of our chapter, I certainly want to thank you for your support, too.
Leslie?
So I'll be an oddball. I didn't move nor second this resolution, but I will not support it without whereas added into it, only because there's a laundry list of other people that gave heroic service in a war that we all have, many of us have issues with, and I can see taking issue with just singling out one. And so I would not have supported me in committee with that, and I wouldn't support it on the floor with that whereas added back. I will support it minus that whereas. I appreciate your thoughts and your passion on talking about Peter and others. You know, I have an uncle who served in the Vietnam War. How does a man come from, get recruited from Guyana, South America, to serve as a member of the United States military in the Vietnam War? I still don't understand, because he wouldn't talk about it. A winner of the Purple Heart, and still suffering lots of difficulties from that war. So it's very close to me. And I'd like to see all their names. But I like that it's being named in honor of the Vietnam veterans, and not just having one person highlighted in there. So I wouldn't support it if that whereas is added.
Well, Leslie, do you want it? It has been added, and it's friendly, but if in the spirit of trying to get a possibly unanimous vote, would you like to move to have it taken out now?
I will move to have that whereas, the whereas that specifically mentions Congressional Medal of Honor recipients in there, removed.
Is there a second, Kathy?
And I'd like to explain that my second is, I think, I don't know, I'm not going to speak for Leslin, but for me it's in the spirit of inclusion. how many of us here haven't had lives touched by the Vietnam War? My brother's a veteran. He suffered from lymphoma. I think he got it from Agent Orange. He'd never go to the vet hospital. He's that kind of guy. That's the kind of generation these guys were. You'll never see his name on a monument. But he's lived a good, solid life. And I think that leaving it without a name attached to it allows all of us to put the heroes that we know onto this honor.
Yes. Just to clarify, it was added back in as a friendly amendment, and now the motion on the floor is to take it back out. Is there further discussion before we vote on taking that phrase, that whereas, out?
I'm also friendly with removing it if the seconder's friendly with removing it.
Yeah, I think
in, okay. In the spirit of this discussion, we don't have to take a vote. It was accepted as friendly, so it is now out.
Wow, we are getting a lot.
Wait, is that a point of process? Can we do that?
Sure.
Yeah,
okay. I'm sorry. I'm completely confused now.
Although the whereas was tentatively put in, it was put in by friendly amendment, friendly acceptance, based on a plea from a colleague, it was now taken out by friendly acceptance. So that whereas is no longer in, and we're about to vote on the revised resolution A with that phrase, whereas out.
Out. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Are ready to vote? All in favor of revised A with the whereas out?
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you all very much.
And I just wanted to say that it was actually legislator Mike Hattery that brought this resolution forth.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, everyone. And I've lost track. M and N, right?
Oh, yes. I have resolution M and N. I'll do resolution M. And I don't know what I just did with it. There it is. Authorization to execute quitclaim deed properties redeemed before county auction. I so move.
Is there a second? That's Greg Stevenson. The discussion. Greg Stevenson.
Perhaps David could help in the clarification. I think the last cited tax map property is listed incorrectly as far as the town goes. I'm not sure, but I think that property is in the town of Enfield. Yeah. Yeah, it's listed as the town of Newfield. So.
Okay, so the correction should be town of Enfield. People have that correction?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the very last property on resolution 10. Is there further discussion? All in favor? Anyone opposed? That's unanimous. And on to N.
All right. Resolution N, authorization to execute quitclaim deed sale foreclosure properties at public auction. I said public option. That's funny. Public option.
And so moved. And there's a second from Dooley Kiefer. Is there discussion? Frank Proto.
Nathan, based on the discussion we had a couple of weeks ago, are any of the properties that are being sold or passed on subject to any easements or changes in the title?
No, they are not.
Setbacks along creeks?
Yeah, those are all still under, what was the status of those? Yeah, all redeemed. They were all redeemed.
They're all redeemed. Yeah. Thank you.
Are we ready to vote on resolution N?
Well, in the future, is it possible to put a phrase in this resolution that says and identifies any properties that might fall into a category like that, so I don't have to ask that question every time?
Oh, that there isn't an easement?
Yeah, there aren't any, or there isn't, or if there is, just identify the property.
This is an annual resolution. We can certainly keep that in mind for future committees to take.
Yeah, we note that in the minutes.
I'll continue to ask the question.
Okay. We haven't voted on this, correct? All in favor of resolution N?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you.
All right.
We've now finished. Government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee.
Yeah, it only took like an hour and a half.
That's good. We have about six more committees, so it's Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee. Pam McAsee, Chair.
Thank you. PDEQ met last Wednesday. We had several interesting and very detailed conversations about several very fascinating subjects. But we still managed to get through the agenda. And anyway, that is all I'm going to say. I would like to point out that the Planning Department has put out its annual report. I don't have one with me, but it was quite attractive cover, and I'm sure the inside is equally as attractive and informative. They're for all to see. There they are. Okay, so I would like to put forward, may I start with Resolution C?
Sure.
Which was taken off the consent agenda, award of tourism capital grants, and I so move.
Is there a second? Frank Proto. Is there discussion? Kathy Lou Serrera.
I asked to have this pulled off because I don't know anything about the Ithaca Motion Picture Feasibility Business Plan, and I just wondered if somebody could summarize that for me, because there's a $5,000 grant for 2009 that's being earmarked for that, and I thought it might be of interest to people, and it certainly is of interest to me to know what the specifics of that would be.
Can someone briefly summarize the Ithaca Motion Picture $5,000?
I can try.
Pam? Sure.
At Stewart Park, one of the buildings there, the building between the large pavilion and the playground, it has bathrooms in it that people use pretty regularly. It turns out that is where they made motion pictures here in the early 1900s. And it has been a storage facility for the city of Ithaca for a number of years. And anyway, there's a group now who are interested in trying to restore this building and recreate at least the space so that it will have some historical interest and perhaps some tourism interest. So this is the first stage in that process. I know they've been working on the exterior of the building. It has been, I think the trim has been painted, and perhaps even the building has now been painted. But it's one of those projects that it was just a light bulb went off in somebody's head that this is a historic building, and this could be of interest for many people who have an interest in film. And so this is an attempt to begin to put together a plan on how to develop that.
Any further questions? Kathy?
Well, for myself, I'm going to say I find this of dubious value at best, but because it's $5,000, I'm going to support it. But I'm really going to want to know a lot more about this before we go pouring money into it.
Are we ready to vote?
We're going to propose Markle's Flats next, Kathy.
This is Resolution C, Award of Tourism Capital Grants. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you.
Okay. Resolution H, affirming Ithaca Tompkins County Transportation Council recommendation to increase the ITCTC staff's director's salary, and I so move.
And seconded by Julie Kiefer.
I would like to say that this is a position that is not funded by county money. It's funded by federal funds. This is just us affirming what the board came up with, and in fact the recommendation that they came up with was in line with our management increases for our own staff.
Thank you. And Frank Proto.
I'm sorry, wrong resolution.
Okay.
I beg your pardon.
And I'll just add to what Pam just said, that I believe they had in the budget some additional possible funds, but they limited it to what our management level was. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution H?
Aye.
Aye.
Is anyone opposed? Passes unanimously. On to I.
Okay. Resolution I, making a negative declaration of environmental significance in relation to Resolution Number J of 2009. Authorizing a contract with the Tompkins County Soil and Water Conservation District to implement flood hazard mitigation program projects, and I so move.
And it's seconded by Will Burbank. Is there further discussion? Julie Kiefer.
The packet of information I saw had a separate environmental assessment form for each project. So I would suggest changing this resolution's second whereas to refer to adequate environmental assessment forms with respect to each of the projects.
Changing the word action to each of the projects. Is that friendly to Pam and Will?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Are we ready to vote? This is negative declaration for three projects. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? That's unanimous. On to J.
Okay, Resolution J, authorizing a contract with the Tompkins County Soil and Conservation District to implement flood hazard mitigation program projects. And I so move.
Is there a second? Frank Proto seconds. Is there discussion? Frank and then Dooley.
I voted against this in committee, and I wanted to explain why, because I intend to support it here. But there are three projects involved, and two of them I felt raised some questions about who they were being done for. One was a relatively minor one. We only have $25,000 here to spend to begin with. But one was a relatively minor one across from the Ithaca High School by the bridge that some of us have gone smelting under for 150 years.
Don't disclose your age.
Everybody knows it anyway. Tyke always accuses me of something. We won't go there. But the I don't have as much of a concern about that one, although the Ithaca City School District, I think the kids tend to park there while as a parking lot, but I'd like to see some more participation at the city level in helping out with that project. But the one that really raised a concern for me is the one in Freeville that is through the Cornell Experimental Farm. Not that it's not a worthwhile project, but the concern that I have is there are a number of projects that were reviewed by the technical committee that never made it to this list. And my understanding is that particular project may not have even been reviewed by the technical committee, which is supposed to pass on somebody. They may have, some may have, but with all due respect to the university, we have a number of properties in the county that are in need of flood work and some help throughout the district. And we did a holistic approach to this when Kate Hackett was the so-called water purveyor for the county, to come up with a plan. Now, if you recall, we even postponed putting money into this program for a couple of years because we wanted to develop a complete watershed review, which we did. But the university is a non-taxpaying entity, and while they may be contributing in some regard to this particular project, there are tax-paying individuals throughout the county that could use some help as well. This is, if I'm not mistaken, this particular one is, it's either the $7,000 project or the $8,000 project, but at least a third of the money is going into this project. And I felt that ought to be brought to your attention. We don't have a lot of money to play with here, we never have. But the municipalities and the landowners in the old days used to kick in a third each. So we used to be able to parlay $25,000 into $75,000. And that hasn't happened for several years. So I have some concerns. Obviously, I've got a lot of experience with this program and have been a sponsor of it since year one. But I thought that you ought to know what my concern was at the committee level. And it's not because this is not a worthwhile project. It's that I felt that there were others that might have risen a little higher on the review list. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. I'd like to move steadily towards a vote. I have Dooley, Tyke, and Martha. Keep your hand up.
No, I don't think so.
I must have misread. Tyke Randall.
I had some of the same concerns that Frank did. I'm not on this committee any longer, but I wanted to make sure that, you know, I brought some concerns with McLean 3 years ago. I'd still like them to be on the radar somehow. I'm not sure how to make that happen, but 3 years ago, I think Ed assured me that they'd be looked at. I didn't know what projects until Frank just mentioned. I'd personally like to see a list of the projects that were submitted, just for my own entertainment.
Thank you, Tyke. And on to Martha.
Ed told PDEC this afternoon that it's expected that Scott will probably bring a report on a three-year course of this program to the full legislature very soon. So we'll hear sort of the whole scope of what they've done. I would be pretty sure that you get an argument from Cornell about them not being a tax-paying entity. They obviously are tax-exempt on much of their land, but they may be, like, they're in the top three taxpayers in terms of property tax in the county. They pay...
Not on this parcel.
In general, I think they pay a lot of property tax. So I also understand that they are putting money into this, and the state, they're leveraging some state money as well.
Are we ready to go to vote? Carol Chalk.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate that I think one of the big issues here and the things we're trying to accomplish is to affect what happens downstream. So the whole objective that this program was set up under was to promote what happens downstream. And
decrease sedimentation.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I think we're ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution J? Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. If we're done with that committee, we have four committee reports, but I would like to ask the final resolution, which is only one left, which was added to tonight, Carol Chalk's resolution, to be discussed now and voted on now, and we'll keep the reports till after that. So, Carol, could you move Resolution L?
Yes. The more I learn about the issue...
Could you move Resolution L?
Oh, I have to move it first?
Yeah.
Okay. I am moving Resolution L, the support of New York State Bill A-1867/S-2247, establishing the Farm Workers Fair Labor Practices Act to grant farm workers collective bargaining rights, workers' compensation, unemployment benefits, a day of rest, and other labor protections provided to other workers in New York. And I so move.
Is there a second? Martha Robertson. Is there discussion? Carol Chalk.
Okay. The more I learn about this issue, the more I didn't type this up to be handed in, and I keep changing it, the more appalled I am at the history so rooted in slavery. The deal, the Federal Labor Standards Act that was worked out during the 1930s, that most workers were due some protections in hours and working conditions, but that those who were black, who were farm workers and domestic workers, would be excluded because it shouldn't matter as much to them, with quotes literally in the record from a guy named Mark Wilcox, "You cannot put the Negro and the white man on the same basis and get away with it." Martin Dees from Texas, you cannot prescribe the same wages for the black man as for the white man. I mean, this was the basis for excluding this group of workers. And appalled at the conditions that continue to the present day, where we have people literally in New York State who've been asked to work 32 days straight in the foie, I'm not going to say this right either, foie gras, the industry feeding ducks, duck liver pate, 32 days straight, with only the biggest time period off was 4 hours during their day. And I'm appalled that it could take until 1995 for us to have required in New York State that water be provided in fields. This act really is designed to provide those kinds of basic rights, one day off a week, to be determined at the by the farm owner according to weather or crop conditions, public health standards that everybody else adheres to, workers' comp if you get injured. If you're truly a family farm, your family is exempted from this. This is an important industry in our county, and I do believe that this will help put our farmers equalize some of the advantages that are given to big farmers that flout these kinds of basic laws, and not that our county farm owners do. I'll repeat those numbers. 28 signed on, 45 support. Governor Patterson has said he'd sign it, and that our voice could be important. I do think there's a lot of problems with our agricultural system in the U.S. and that there isn't enough support of farmers. But I don't think that denying basic rights to those who work there of this kind of order of magnitude is the way to solve the problem. I don't think that there's a moral justification for continuing to exclude this group of workers, and I don't think there's a legal justification. So I hope to support it. Thanks.
Thank you, Carol. Greg Stevenson.
Carol makes a good case with her resolution. Additionally, I'm a big fan of a lot of the things in the title, collective bargaining rights. You might have gotten that a little bit earlier. Workers' compensation, unemployment benefits, all good things I'm a fan of. I haven't had the opportunity to talk to the people in my district about this, and I want that before I can support it. So I'm not opposing the content, but the timing, and I won't be supporting it.
Thank you. I have Tyke Randall, Mike Sigler, and Frank Proto.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I came here tonight kind of thinking that this really didn't affect me, but I had this glimpse back to my earlier life, I guess, which is I was about 10 years old a few years ago now, so I guess it was a long ways back.
I'm glad to hear that.
I'm not as old as you, though, Frank. I was a farm worker. My parents really didn't have much money. I don't blame them for anything that happened about this, but I did go to work on a farm. It was a dairy farm, and I want to personalize this a little bit because we tend to try to make this not personal here, that it doesn't affect us, and it's not true. Even on the small scale of me personally back then, probably shouldn't have been working on a farm at 10 years old, even though, yes, farm families, and that was pretty common for a kid to learn how to drive tractor when they were six, but it's a very dangerous place to work. I look back at it from the standpoint that I worked nights after school, all day Saturday, lots of days, a lot of times Sundays, for $7 a week. That's what I got paid. Was that a lot of money at 10 years old? Yeah, it wasn't. I thought it was. It afforded me some things that I couldn't, my parents couldn't afford to buy me. But honestly, I look back at the costs of what that probably, I learned a lot about life there, but I also could have been dead many times. And one time that comes to mind is, washing a bulk tank, didn't have enough base to finish mixing up the water, so I mixed acid with it. Didn't know the difference. Didn't know anything about it. Breathed in the fumes, burnt my lungs, never told my parents, never told anybody, but I remember for 2 weeks I could hardly breathe. Things like that. And this farmer was young. He was 19 years old. I'm not saying that he was negligent. He didn't teach me the right way, but I look back at that and how that affected my life and others like me. I look back 20 years later and I had a son that wanted to do the same thing. And farming was, kids like to farm. They like to bale hay. It's a boy thing. They love doing that kind of stuff. Physicality, I guess. Same farmer. What do you think he started him out at? $7 a week. This is 20 some years later. And I was the parent that said, I called him, not going to happen. This is ridiculous. And the argument was then, he's just learning, it's costing me money to, it's just ridiculous. This is just about common decency and treating people how they should be treated. Back then, my only form, I think a couple other neighbor kids and I formed our own collective bargaining unit. I remember that. We would periodically quit on purpose. And each time he would hire the other kid back at a little bit higher wage. So I think we got it up to $45 by the time I was done. But it just shows the need for that kind of thing. I can't believe that, here it is 2009 and that we even have to discuss something like this. It's disgusting is what it is. It's appalling. It's just right to pass this, and it's way past the time to pass this thing. So,
thank you, Tyke. Mike Sigler, then Frank.
Well, I don't want to top that, but I want to point out that the farmer that you mentioned, if he's still offering $7 a week, I mean, that's a violation of the law. So.
And he's out of business now, so thank
you. Have it. That would be why. So, to be honest with you, I've read Carol's proposal. Carol's proposal, I really don't have a problem. I probably would vote for that. The problem is that it endorses the Senate bill or the Assembly bill, whichever the summary of specific provisions in here are. And that's the one I actually do have a problem with. Farm work is not like any other job. You know, it's not, you know, certain things, of course, you know, sanitary conditions. Should they have a toilet? Yeah, I mean, water. I mean, that's pretty basic stuff. I don't understand that, why that took so long to actually get through. But to say that, you know, workers on a farm, for example, should have a right to strike, that causes a major problem. I mean, if there's a reason we have the Taylor Law, for example, in this state, whereas you can't, you know, teachers can't strike because then you're leaving all those kids out hung to dry. If you give farm workers, for example, that same right to strike, then the animals don't get milked. The you know, the crops don't get cut. They rot in the fields. So I think that while a lot of these provisions are sound and should be done immediately, to me, not enough thought has been put into it. They haven't. It doesn't. I read this and I'm like, did they talk to any farmers kind of before they wrote it? Because there's a lot of problems with this. I mean, we have a very short growing season here in New York State. You're talking maybe 5 months. That situation has to be addressed. You know, despite the fact that Tyke is voting for this tonight, he said something that swayed my opinion earlier on in the night, and you can only cut hay when the sun is shining. That's true. I mean, so while there is an allowance in there, you get to pick the day that you have off, that's great. But you may have a week that's great and a week that's raining, and you can't get the tractors out in the fields. So that's something I think from a farm standpoint you need to address. And, you know, in here it says 8-hour day. Well, okay, you've got to be up at 6 milking the cows. Say you work from 6 to 10, then you're going to get 4 hours off, and then you're going to work another 4 hours. Well, again, you know, short growing season. You know, most of the farmers I know, 6 to 9 o'clock at night. I mean, 6 in the morning, 9 o'clock at night, they sleep. And then in the winter, they don't work so much. You know, that's when you actually see them. But I don't know. I would like to know that there was more farmer input into this bill, both at the Senate and the Assembly level. And I, reading it, I don't really see that kind of input. And again, I'll talk to Farm Bureau, I'll see what their reservations are, what they would want out, what they would want in. But and I think that there is a compromise to be struck there. I mean, some of the things on here are just so reasonable that you're like, why again? It's like the water. How did that take till 1990-something, you know? And maybe it was already being done and it just needed to be codified. One would expect that would be done. I've never been on a work site. When I was an industrial roofer, I mean, it wasn't like we needed a law to say, oh, there needs to be water on that roof. I mean, your employer kind of knew that. So anyway, that's my two cents on it, and that's why I'm voting against it. I'm not voting against every provision in it. I just would like to see more farmer input into it before this goes forward.
I have four speakers, Frank, Martha, Leslin, and Mike Hattery. Frank?
Thanks, Mike. Like Tyke, some of us have been working on farms for most of our lives, and I've made this offer to every single one of you, and none of you have taken me up on it. Anytime I have a couple of forks that probably will fit your hands, if you'd like to come out, if you need any manure for your roses, I have a couple of horses that'll be glad to help you out. But and some of us have been doing it. All kidding aside, I mean, I worked on dairy farms since I was 8 or 9, and not all here in Tompkins County, obviously, but around Delaware County and around Hamden, New York. Anyway, make a long story short, I agree with a lot of what Mike Sigler just said. There are provisions in this that should be addressed. the concern I have is that we haven't had an opportunity. I'd like a chance to run this by the Ag and Farmland Protection Board, because there are farmers on that board. It is one of the advisory boards. While it's prescribed by the state, it is it's not just an advisory board to us. It is one that is required for us to have. It's the old Ag it's the old Assessment Review Board in the old days. That's what some of us knew it as. And I, although I'm not having much luck with postponing resolutions tonight, after the other four speakers, I might ask that this be postponed at least till our first meeting in July, so that I can bring this up at the Ag and Farmland meeting, even though we have a full agenda with some other items on it later this month. And I defer and encourage Carol to do whatever she can to get the Senate to come together to meet, but I have a sneaking suspicion that by July 7th we'll probably still be safe. Good luck.
Martha?
Except to say that, Frank, I thought you were going to offer us rides on those horses. I'll pay.
And Leslin?
You're welcome anytime, Martha, to ride.
Thank you, Frank, for the offer, but I've had my share of farm work, dude.
I pay for experience.
There's so much that can be justified in this, and I sit and I listen to some of the thoughts, and I read some of this, and I cringe, because it's not so many years ago when it was justifiable, slavery was justifiable, and indentured servitude was justifiable, and mandated service was justifiable. Frankly, I think everybody should have the right to strike, period. Regardless of what it is, and that way employers will be a lot more responsible, employers and government will be a lot more responsible in providing folks with the proper working conditions and standards of compensation and work, so they don't have a reason to strike. I will fully support this resolution. You said it all, I really couldn't even add to that, but just knowing the experiences of many others like you who have worked on farms as farm workers, and knowing the experiences of some of my colleagues who have advocated for years for better conditions. It's 2009. Mike, you're right. Shouldn't be the 90s that we're debating or figuring out whether folks should have water in the field. But it's the same excuse people use. You know, it should be common sense. Well, it should be common sense in this day and age that we should just vote to support the tenets of this resolution and more. There are a few things I'd like to add, but it probably wouldn't pass. So I hope that you all will vote to support this resolution tonight, because, like I said, so much can be justified, especially when it comes to labor.
Mike Hattery.
I think I agree with a couple of folks that have said there's certainly some things in here that I don't think anybody would have any qualms about the need for it to be a given fact for workers. On the other hand, there's it's not just limited to a short list, and we haven't really had a lot of time to examine it, as Greg mentioned. There's a tremendous allocation of rights and benefits, and there's no estimates of fiscal and economic impact or discussions about those kind of rights and benefits to citizens versus non-citizens. So without the opportunity to look at those things and have them discussed, I can't support this.
Mr. Chair, can I have just one comment, one more comment?
Sure, and then I see Kathy, and I think...
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge Frank's request. I mean, we put advisory boards in place, you know, to advise. Mm-hmm. And although, Frank, I wouldn't vote to postpone, I would assume that our advisory board and the Ag and Farmland Protection Board will fully support this resolution. So that's the only reason I wouldn't vote to postpone this.
Kathy Luce Herrera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So part of the problem with this is that we got the thing from the Farm Bureau just within the last week, okay? So it's last-minute notice. I'm kind of cranky. I can start out by saying this title is too long. You know, the resolution's too long. Y'all have heard me holler about stuff like that before. The context, though, and what's in it,
is really important in the context of a lot of increased hate crimes. There was another one today against people who are or are perceived to be immigrants being murdered in their sleep, children being murdered by, it's assumed, members of the Minutemen organization. Not all farm workers are immigrants, but the fact is it's a trap. My folks were migrant workers, and you know, small farmers rightfully say that migrant workers that they know year after year, season after season, become like part of the family. But when somebody's part of the family working 7 days a week without any break and not being able to make a decent wage or, of course, have health care, workers' comp, if anybody's ever worked, and I've worked on hobby farms before, stooping and bending, and I've knocked out a few stalls too. And I can tell you that the repetitive motion that comes from farming is probably something that would justify some workers' comp claims. I can understand why small farmers are concerned about this, and I understand folks in the farming and ag community saying they would like for people to have a look at this. It's pretty extensive, though, and clear to me that some of these concerns have already been addressed for the small farmer. In fact, the only way that migrant workers can break out of this cycle of poverty is to do what Tyke was able to do, and that's to get together with somebody and go on strike. Find a way to take your labor and take it elsewhere. If you have 14 kids, like some families do, that might not be so easy. I think that this legislation, as controversial as it might be, and that's a paradox, that it is controversial in this day and age, is long overdue. And considering it here is something that I'm proud of Carol for bringing up, and even though it was on short notice, I think it's great that legislators were willing to put it on the agenda. I'll support it. It may have problems. Let's get them talked about at the state level. Let's move forward a little bit out of 1948. I mean, we have enough problems on the people are going to kill me for bringing this up, on the freedom to marry front as compared to other states. Iowa has way ahead of us on some things. Let's get some human rights issues for farm workers supported by the county legislator. Torres, thank you.
Other further comments before we vote? Frank.
Kathy, you sound like that stall kicking. I'd hire you.
Well, I got a chance to ride. That was my trade. It was worth it.
I want to go back one item before I move to postpone this. The comment about presuming what an advisory board might suggest. I'm not sure who made that comment, but I want to address that for just a second. I even though a number of us spar with each other on issues, I don't ever remember this board being opposed to receiving information from any source. Sometimes we receive too much information. Some of us complain that it's not timely or whatever, and some of us have trouble getting onto the website to read the insurance stuff. But that's my problem. That's not your problem. The concern I have is presuming that an advisory board will come back in support of something when they haven't even had a chance to look at it. That bothers me. I don't know what they're going to do, and neither do you. And all I'm asking is that we give them a chance. They may surprise all of us, but what's wrong with letting it see the light of day with the very group that represents us in the agriculture? And it's not just farmers, by the way. Not just people who plow the land. There are organic individuals that do organic farming. There are flowers and florists and landscape architects that come in. We have, anyway, so I'm a little concerned about that remark. But having said that, is this the time I should move to postpone this to?
When you have the floor, you can move it.
I will move to postpone action on this until we have a chance to receive a response from the Ag and Farmland Protection Board.
So you're postponing until July 7th meeting?
July, that's our next meeting.
Correct.
I think that's, I wouldn't want to go anymore.
Is there a second to postpone to July 7th? Mike Sigler seconds. Is there discussion on that postponement? Duly Keith?
Ordinarily, I would be supportive of postponing something to let an advisory board weigh in. But in the case of this legislation, it's been around for years. And if the Ag and Farmland Board hadn't seen occasion to be interested in it, I guess I'm less sympathetic about postponing to let them look at it now, because they it's exactly the kind of thing that staff at Cooperative Extension would know about.
Leslie?
Dooley took the words out of my mouth, and Frank, I'm the one with the comment of assuming that the board will see this and approve it, for the very reason that it's been around for a very long time, and we haven't heard any comments or concerns or thoughts. I'm not saying that it shouldn't go. If you remember, I started out my comments saying that we put advisory boards in place to do just that, to advise us, and it would be nice for them to have the opportunity to, but that opportunity has been, you know, here. This has been out for quite a while, so it is my assumption, since we haven't heard anything, that this, you know, probably is not something that they take issue with. I could be assuming very wrong, I don't know, but it's been out there for quite a while.
I have Mike Hattery next, and I'll speak. This is to postpone to July 7th.
Well, you know, there's a whole lot of issues out there that nobody would expect this legislature to take up and pass a resolution on, and they wouldn't necessarily expect that they would have to be making comment on. So, I mean, I don't think it's we should presume that just because there's legislation that's rolling around for years on lots of things that people may have had the opportunity to comment on, but they had no idea this legislature was going to take up a resolution on.
I'll simply add that this only got to the New York State Senate on June 1st out of committee. Very first time it saw that light, and I will support the postponement. I will take the risk that our state legislature will not have the opportunity to vote on this until then, and I will support postponing it until July 7th. Is there further discussion? Are you ready to vote, Martha?
I hope we vote on it tonight.
Okay. On the motion to postpone to July 7th, all in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That fails. It's on the agenda this evening.
Yeah.
Any further comment before we vote? All in, ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution L as proposed this evening?
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4. That passes 10 to 4. Thank you, Carol, for bringing it. And thank you for our guests for staying so late. Sorry we had to put it on last. We'll go back to our committee reports. Mike Hattery moved one resolution but did not give a committee report for budget. Do you want an opportunity to do that now?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think other than the resolution that was already voted on, there wasn't, I didn't, and looking at our agenda, there wasn't anything else that I thought I had to report on. One thing is, we are very concerned about resources, and I would think it'd be good to compare the kind of time that it took for Pam to get through four items compared to Nathan tonight. In terms of the whole budgeting and resources issue. But other than that, our next meeting is the 22nd.
All right. No questions. We'll move on to Public Safety Committee. Martha Robertson's here.
Thank you. We met yesterday, and so the resolutions we passed weren't ready for today. They'll come next meeting. That includes a message, resolution to ask the state to ban text messaging, to pass a statewide law. So that will come, not to pass a local law here, but to ask the state. That'll come at the next meeting. We also approved in concept the agreement and bylaws for the Law Enforcement Technology Shared Services Group, LETS Group, that Greg Potter and Kim Moore and many law enforcement folks have been working on for a long time. So we had, there were a couple changes. We didn't have a clean copy. We will vote on that at the next, formally at the next meeting. But they've made great, you know, really pulled that group together, and we're very pleased at their collaborative process, and that's going to be able to come to you next meeting. We met, by the way, at the Justice Center over in the old library, and I appreciate committee members who were able to come 15 minutes early to have a walkthrough and to meet staff at the Justice Center and the drug court folks. And then we were able to actually hear from a couple of the staff people, the GED person and the employment person, as well as a former client named Josh, who gave us his story about, you know, all the, he didn't detail all the things he's ashamed of having done when he was younger, but he said he's really thought a lot about it. He said he, when he first got to CJC, he said, what is this place? This is just adult daycare. I can't believe it. It's Mickey Mouse. And then he realized he was going to be spending time there anyway, and they had all these resources there about how to get, you know, training and deal with anger management and work on your resume, and it really, he really credited the program with turning his life around, and it was very moving remarks from him, and he just the other day passed the commercial driver's license certification and was in training to drive a school bus, and he just was really seemed like a different person. So apropos of that, we did read and talk about the report that was done in 2003 by Kathy Schlaughter evaluating the alternatives to incarceration programs, and basically decided that we would like to have some sort of an update to put time into revising that with current information. And I will put together a subcommittee of folks that will try to figure out how to do that and bring a proposal back to the committee. And Joe's agreed to meet with me about that. I'm going to be talking to Susie Cook next week. And I expect the CJA board to also weigh in on how to update that information. And we have 2003 was the last time we really looked at the clients coming out of those the drug courts and the Justice Center, and it's time to take stock of it again. So that'll be a major piece of work for the committee. There were, I guess that those are the headlines, and next meeting is July 20th at 2:30.
Thank you. I have a quick question about the task force of looking at assigned counsel and public defender. Is that recording next month?
They should be ready next month. They've been working on it.
And, okay. Any other questions for public safety? If not, let me just go back to Budget, Capital, and Finance Committee. I forgot half of what I wanted to say, but next Monday we have the rollover requests, and there's 38 pages of rollover requests. So please take time to look at that. I was going to announce that the actual agendas and attachments are here tonight. That's what I was going to announce. So before you leave, if you're on that committee, you get copy of the distribution list, pick up your packages. On to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean, Claire Bourne, Chair.
No report. We will meet next Wednesday. No, you didn't.
Thank you. Legislative Rules and Procedures Committee, Julie Kiefer, Chair.
We met yesterday afternoon and received a list of anonymous comments and suggestions for changes from department heads. There are only two of the three committee members there, but we discussed it anyway, and we also discussed the advisory committee appointment policy. And there's a good chance that our meeting date and time will change so that we can be more certain that all three of us can attend.
Any questions? Martha Robertson.
Did you receive my comment?
Did receive your comment.
Okay.
Thank you.
No further questions? I don't think we finished with member filed resolutions. Who would like to move minutes of previous meetings, both May 19th and June 2nd? Frank Frodo moves them. Greg Stevenson seconds. Is there discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. And without further ado, I would accept the motion to adjourn. Will Burbank moves it, and Pam McAsee seconds.
We are
all in favor. We're adjourned at 9:14. Thank you very much.